Amen. Thank you, Talbot. Appreciate that. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Colossians and chapter number 3. The book of Colossians and chapter number 3. I want to just read one verse by way of, really this is kind of a springboard verse. And I want us to see how it affects our whole life. It's a small verse. And actually there's a little small phrase in the small verse that I think really affects our whole life as a Christian. And I want to preach a message tonight that I have entitled, As to the Lord. As to the Lord. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 23, And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Let me read it again and then we'll have prayer. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Lord, we ask that you would meet with us here tonight. We ask, Lord, that as we look at this phrase and how this phrase should apply to our lives as Christians, I ask that you would work in our hearts. And Lord, we recognize that unless you do the work, all is vain. And so we thank you, Lord, that you're here in the midst. And Lord, we're asking you to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 2 that in the latter days men shall be lovers of their own selves. We're living in a day and age where people do what they do because that's what they want to do. When you think about it, what is it that motivates us? People think that if I do what I want, if I make the decisions for my life, then that's what's going to bring ultimate happiness and satisfaction. And that is not true. Only God knows what brings happiness and satisfaction in our lives. And God says, hey, if you do what I tell you to do, you're going to have a blessed or an abundant life. Now, I want tonight to do something just a little bit different. We know that the Scripture says, where two or three are gathered, in my name, there am I in the midst. We often don't think about Him being in the midst. But I want to use this chair tonight to illustrate Him being in the midst. And we're going to not be sacrilegious here tonight, but we are going to get us thinking. All right? And I want you to imagine with me that He is in the midst, sitting right here in this chair. Okay? Often we think God is up there a million miles away, when the reality is God is in the midst. God is, He sees us. He's with us. And we often don't live in the awareness of His presence. Now this verse tells us, and whatsoever you do, we're to do it heartily as to the Lord. Often people are motivated by what they want to do. Often people are motivated by peer pressure. They're motivated by what others want them to do. And the Scripture tells us here as well, as to the Lord and not unto men. I want tonight for us to think just for a few minutes as we look at the Word of God here. I want you to see how an as to the Lord attitude, an as to the Lord mentality will affect our whole being. We as Christians are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6 tells us that we're bought with a price. Therefore, we are to do what? We are to glorify God with our bodies. And so I want us to think about how this, as to the Lord, affects us in our life. If we live as to the Lord, it's going to affect us in many, many ways. And I want you to see, first of all, it affects us in our walk. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, and I want you to see verse number 10 is where we'll look at in just a minute. Ephesians 5 starts out talking immediately about our walk, immediately about our walk with the Lord. As a matter of fact, it starts out, therefore be ye followers of God as dear children and walk in love. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus here, admonishes God's people concerning their walk. And that they walk in love. And you see the descriptions there, some powerful statements. But look at verse number 8. The Bible says here, For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. And we see an admonition to do what? To walk as children of light. And then we find ourselves in verse number 15. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. And so this chapter really is talking about a Christian and that we walk as God would have us. It's talking about our walk with the Lord. But verse number 10 says this. As we look at verse 10, it says this. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 9, here's verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. The word proving is a word there that means the basis of testing or judging something to be genuine. Acceptable has the idea of that which causes someone to be pleased. Think about this now. Your walk with God, your relationship with God, your walk. If my walk is as unto me, it's going to be a little different than as to or as unto the Lord. If I'm living my life to please me, I'm living my life in disobedience to the Word of God. If I'm living my life to please someone else, some other human being, I'm living my life in disobedience to the Word of God. As we look at Ephesians 5, our walk should be that which proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We think about how this affects us. If Jesus was sitting right here in this chair, and we could see Him, would we pay attention any more than we might normally pay attention? If Jesus was here, we could visibly see Him watching. He watches us everywhere we go. He sees everything we do. He listens to that which we listen to. When nobody else is listening, when nobody else is listening to the music that we're listening to, Jesus is listening. When no one else is watching the movie that we're watching or the show that we're watching, Jesus is watching. And when no one else is around and we find ourselves engaging in activities, Jesus is watching all that we do. And often we forget that our life is supposed to be whatever we do it heartily as to the Lord. You see, when we live our lives to please the Lord, when the Lord is happy, by the way, the Bible says that when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. By the way, let me say this before we leave this subject here. Let me just think about, throw this out here. Why do you wear what you wear? Most people, when they put an outfit on, they ask, do I look good in this outfit? Or they might say, does this outfit match? If you're a guy, you might say, does this match? Or is this tie too long? Or whatever. Or they might say, you know, this is very comfortable. Or this makes me look thin. Or is this my colors? I'm a summer, winter, spring, or fall, whatever your colors may be, right? We've got all kinds of different questions that we ask when we put something on. But how often do we ask the question, Lord, is this pleasing to you? Am I proving what is acceptable to you? You know, first and foremost, in our dress, we dress for the Lord. You say, what are you talking about? Adam and Eve were married. They were in the garden. It was just two of them. I don't think there's any problems with Adam and Eve. They're married. And what did God do? He put clothes on both of them. Because we dress first and foremost for the Lord. As we think about our lives, we need to live our lives as to the Lord. It affects our walk. Number two, turn to Colossians chapter number 3. I want you to see this, Colossians chapter number 3. An as to the Lord life affects my worship. Not only does it affect my walk, but it affects my worship. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says this. Colossians 3:16, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I'm reading 15, sorry. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Look at the text. Who is the audience when we sing? You ever think about that in a church setting? You ever think about that? Pastor Drew stands and he leads in hymns and says, "Sing with us." Who are we singing to? I hope you're not singing to the person to the right or the left of you, because they're like, "Whoa, no, I'm just kidding." We're singing to the Lord. Do you know when we get a hold of that, when we recognize that our worship is to the Lord, it changes everything. Sometimes young people, you see them in a youth service, and they'll sit there and doing the singing. Or they may sing like this, like they're chewing a piece of gum. Our whole perspective changes when we recognize, you know, the preaching is really toward man. When we think about the music and actually the worship, the singing, where the audience of the singing is God Himself. It's as if God bends His ear toward Victory Baptist Church and listens to us as we sing praises. And sometimes as we make a joyful noise, right, to the Lord. Songs that are full of truth, consistent with the Word of God. Think about the music that you listen to as you rejoice and worship the Lord in your car. You think about that aspect of singing unto the Lord, worshiping Him. By the way, we don't need to use the world's music to worship the Lord. We don't need to bring the world's music into the church. Really, we don't need the world's music in our own homes. We be thinking about that aspect. Do we sing with our whole heart? Do we think about this? Do we think about what we're singing? It's easy to come in a service and just kick it into autopilot. Let me just sing, "My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine." And we're not even really thinking about, "My Jesus, I love You." You think about the aspect of, it will be worth it all when we see You. Imagine how our singing might change in a service if Jesus was sitting right here. And we were singing to Him. And we're thinking, "We're going to be with You for all eternity." And we communicated as we meditated on the songs. Our worship should be unto the Lord. It affects our walk. It affects our worship. Turn to Ephesians 6. Go back one book. And I want you to see this. It affects an as to the Lord life. When we come to a point in our lives and we say, "You know what, Lord, my life's not my own and I'm living my life as to the Lord," it's going to affect my walk. It's going to affect my worship. By the way, when I live a life that's as to the Lord, it won't be that hard to get up in the morning and open your Bible and read it. Because I'm living my life as to the Lord. And God, I need to communicate with You and I need to get my instructions from headquarters. When we look at Ephesians 6, an as to the Lord life affects our work. Look at verse 5, Ephesians 6. The Bible says this, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ," as unto Christ. "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Can you imagine that in the work scene? You see, yeah, but you don't understand. When I was an operations manager years ago in a golf company, there were guys that worked under me, and I was amazed at how many of them would work harder when the boss is around. I was amazed at how many would lollygag and sometimes just sit down and take an unscheduled break for as long as they wanted when the boss wasn't around. You know, we live in an environment where sometimes bosses are unsaved. And sometimes they can be carnal. Sometimes they can be hard to work for. We live in a society where it's accepted for everybody's doing it, and so I'm going to do it too. had a police officer friend of mine years ago that decided he was going to do what's right and live for the Lord. And he started writing up tickets, started making the other guys look bad. There was a pressure. I say, man, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Right? There's a pressure sometimes for us all to just lollygag around and just kind of, well, we deserve it. We live in a very give me mentality. I deserve mentality in our society today. But not the servant that's doing what he's doing as to the Lord. Pastor Drew sanitizes our building every week. And I'm sure when he's up here sanitizing, he's whistling, right? Jesus is good, right? Do you know what? It's a lot easier to... And he's never complained to me, and I'm sure he does a great job. It's a lot easier to sanitize, to do whatever we do, if we're thinking of the Lord. You see, sometimes you... Well, the boss takes advantage of me, he's unkind to me, or whatever it is. But my boss ultimately is the Lord. And as a Christian, we ought to work hard and we ought to be honest and we ought to do what we can to do the best job. The book of Ecclesiastes says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. But it's easy when everyone else is taking shortcuts. It's easy when everyone else is they're cutting corners. It's easy for us sometimes as Christians to think, well, this is okay because it's accepted in society. By the way, we're supposed to come out from among them and be ye separate. Right? We're to be strangers and pilgrims. We're to let our light shine. And when you think about the servant-master relationship, again, the apostle writing to the church at Ephesus saying to the servants, servants, now look, you may not be getting treated right, but if you're serving the Lord, don't look to please men. Look to ultimately please God, which is where we need to live our lives. Do it as a God pleaser. Do it as unto Christ. Do the best job you can. Be faithful because you're seeking to please the Lord. And don't get caught up into pleasing men. It affects our work on as to the Lord life. We need to do our best, no matter who's watching, humanly, because we know God is watching. And as long as we have the smile of the Savior, everything's going to be all right. He's the one we need to please. Number four, I want you to turn to Acts chapter number 11. Acts chapter number 11. And as to the Lord life affects number four, my witness. In Acts chapter number 11, the gospel was being received among the Jews in Antioch. The leadership of the church in Jerusalem sent Barnabas to check on the church and to see it firsthand, to see what God was doing. And he was encouraged with what God was doing, and he encouraged the church here in Acts 11 to cleave unto the Lord. I'll look at verse number 23. Verse 22, they heard it in Jerusalem. They sent Barnabas. Verse 23, when he came, he'd seen the grace of God, Acts 11, 23, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Speaking of Barnabas, was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Verse number 23 and verse 24. And you look at this aspect here, the church is going to, and they do, by the way, face persecution. Verse 27, in these days came prophets from Jerusalem. And there stood up one named Agabus and signified the Spirit that there should be great dearth. They're going to face famine. They're going to face hard times. What did Barnabas say? Barnabas said, hey, keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep living for the Lord. Cleave unto the Lord. In times of persecution, in times of famine, in times where things are up and down in a society such as we live in, we've got to cleave unto the Lord. I think of Paul and Silas in Acts 16 that were thrown into prison. And they're into prison there. And they were in there, they're being persecuted for telling people about Jesus, and they're in the prison. And the Bible says they prayed and sang praises. Can I ask you a question? Who do you think they prayed and sang praises unto? The verse tells us it wasn't to the people in the prison. It wasn't that they said, "Hey guys, it's kind of quiet in here. I don't like it quiet. You mind if we sing?" It wasn't like, hey guys, we're going to entertain you a little bit here in the prison." No, they're beaten and they're persecuted, and they come into the prison there, and what do? They pray and they sing praises to God. They could have been complaining the whole time. They could have been whining. "Man, my back hurts. Man, those whips, man, that hurt. You hurt." They could have been complaining. "Can you believe they said that? Can you believe they threw us in here? Man, that's not fair." You'd be talking to some of the other prisoners. "Why are you in here? What are you doing here? What did you do wrong?" "Oh, that was bad. You shouldn't have done that. All we were doing is preaching. Can you believe they threw us in here for preaching?" There's a whole lot of complaining that they could have been doing in the prison. But instead, their eyes were on the Lord. They were living their life as to the Lord. And so they decided, "We're going to pray and we're going to sing praises unto God." Sometimes service, sometimes even in the midst of service, things don't go the way that we think they ought to go. Maybe you set out to try to do something for somebody and they don't receive it well or whatever, and your service needs to again be to the Lord. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. Interesting, in Matthew chapter number 25, verses 44 and 45, and you're familiar with this. Verse 42, these are the words of Jesus. He said, "I was a hungered and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, or thirst, or stranger, or sick in prison, and didn't minister unto thee?" And shall he answer, "Verily I say unto you, as much as you did it, not unto the least of these, you did it unto me." You know what? When we decide that we're going to be a blessing to somebody, when we decide that we're going to try to encourage somebody, or we're going to try to help somebody, we're going to try to be a blessing, our focus of our service needs to be unto the Lord. It needs to be, "Hey, I'm giving this to you because I please the Lord." You ever do something for somebody and you think, "Man, they didn't even thank me. I'm just unthankful people. That's the last time I'll ever do something for them." Wait just a second. I hope it is the last time you do anything for them. I hope the next time you do something for them, you'll do it as to the Lord. And then if them doesn't say thank you, we'll realize, "Well, I did this as to the Lord." And I think we should be thankful, but you get the point I'm trying to make. You see, an as to the Lord life, it affects our witness. Two more, number six. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I got all the W's going here. There's a lot of W's in the world. You know that? In the dictionary, lots of W's. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And I want you to see this. And as to the Lord, life affects my wallet. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit," verse number 1. "Of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." The churches gave more than they had. They gave out of need. In their poverty, they gave abundantly. Verse 4, "praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." So these churches in Berea here, they weren't wealthy. They didn't have all that much. But I want you to see what motivated them. What motivated them to open their wallets and dump the money in was verse number 5. The Bible says this, "And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God." Wow, Paul said, man, these churches, they didn't have a lot of money, and I didn't think, hey, there's not going to be much of an offering coming from these churches. But I'm amazed they gave out of their need. Wow, this was amazing! But they did it. Why? Because they came to a point in their life where they first said, my life isn't my own. And they gave themselves to the Lord. And when we give ourselves to the Lord, we give all of ourselves. Which means what? Which means that's going to affect my wallet. That's going to affect my treasure. In Romans 8 and verse 32, the Bible says, He gave us freely all things to enjoy. Do you know the things that we have been given to us by God? God has allowed us to earn, to work, to others to give, or whatever, with the things we have. They've been given to us from the Lord, and ultimately they're His. They're on loan to us from the Lord. Do you know sometimes God gives you something, He gives us something, and He says, here, this is for you to use. Sometimes God gives us stuff, and He says, hey, this is for you to give. He uses us as a conduit, as a channel to bless others. You see, and as to the Lord, life affects my wallet. And last but not least, number 6. We've looked at our walk, our worship, our work, our witness, our wallet. And Ephesians chapter number 5, I want you to see this. And how do you get a W to deal with your home life? Well, you know, when you got 5, you got to add number 6. And so that is your world. Your little world, right? You have a little world at home. And here's what the Bible says. Some very powerful statements, by the way, that help us in the relationships in the home. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22, the Bible says this, speaking of wives first. Actually, we could even go up to 21. Look at this. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. We could read that little phrase again. As unto the Lord. You see, sometimes you know it's easy. But most of the time it's hard. I'm just kidding. I hope it's not most of the time it's hard, right? But whether it's easy or it's hard, what does the Bible say? As unto the Lord. I'm doing this because my life is an as to the Lord life. Not because I necessarily want to do it or feel like doing it, but I say, hey, it's an as to the Lord life. Look what the Bible says to husbands. They don't have that phrase, but verse 25, I can't hit the wives without the husbands. I'll get in trouble, right? Verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. There's kind of a little bit of an as to the Lord there. As Christ loved the church, you say, hey, sometimes it may not be easy. Sometimes it may not be what you want to do, what you feel like doing. But an as to the Lord life says, I'm going to do this because I'm not living to please men. I'm not living to please me. I'm living to please the Lord. An as to the Lord life. Look at Ephesians 6. As we think about the home, the little world at home. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right in the Lord. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. What do we have? We have obey in the Lord. The aspect of the Lord. Verse 4, you have even fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That aspect of as to the Lord. The children may say, yeah, you don't understand my parents. My parents, man, they were born in the 1920s. I mean, they're really old. Even if they weren't born in the 1920s. The 1960s and 70s and 80s to some of them is like, wow, that's like many moons ago. I think they don't understand. They're not up on the times. Doesn't matter. The Bible says, unto the Lord. You see, yeah, my parents, they're not perfect, and neither are you. You see, an as to the Lord life says, you know what? I am doing this not because my parents are perfect, not because they're model mom and dad. No, I'm doing this because my life is an as to the Lord life. And that's the kind of life that pleases the Lord. As to the Lord. Think about this when you wake in the morning and you go about what you're doing. What motivates you? What ought to motivate us is the aspect of an as to the Lord, my relationship with God. I'll give you this in closing and we'll be finished. Judson Van Deventer was raised in a Christian home. At age 17, he accepted Jesus as his Savior. He graduated university with a degree in art and was employed successfully as a teacher and administrator of high school art. He traveled extensively, visiting the various art galleries throughout Europe. He also studied and taught music. He mastered 13 different instruments, sang and composed music. He was very involved in the music ministry of his church and eventually found himself torn between his successful teaching career and his desire to be part of an evangelistic team. The struggle within him lasted for about 5 years. In 1896, he was conducting the music of a church event. It was during these meetings that he finally surrendered his desires completely to God. At that time, he made a decision to become a full-time evangelist. And as he submitted completely to the Lord, this song was born in his heart. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His daily presence live. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. May God help us to live a life as to the Lord. Lord, we love You tonight.